the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. And in this podcast, what I wanted to talk to you today was about your business. So if you have a business, then this is for you. If you haven't got a business yet and you're thinking about getting a business, now this is the thing that you need to sort of understand, really, is that all property investors also have a business as a sideline. And many people don't realize this. They think, you know, they work 40, 50, 60 hours at a job, they earn enough money to buy properties, and that generates cash flow and so on. And then that's it. You retire to the med and you never do anything ever again. And that's not true on a number of different areas. So the first reason it's not true is because when you pack in your job and you're going full-time into property investing, let's say you've got 10 properties, the boiler goes on one, two tenants don't pay, one tenant has stopped paying but refuses to move out. You're now, you know, $2,500 for boiler, three monthly rentals down. So 7 out of 10 properties are now the only ones that are paying for the mortgage, for the maintenance, for the new boiler. And so this is the problem, is that you soon run out of money, or potentially you can run out of money. And this is one of the things that makes people go bankrupt. You've got to have a separate income source. What happens if, for whatever reason, something changes? Let's say, for example, that you're no longer able to offset your mortgage interest against your rent. I mean, that's something that's coming through. There's a legal challenge, but we don't know how that's going to pan out. So if you haven't got another income, that could potentially bankrupt you. Okay, so this is one of the reasons why you should have, in some way, a third or a second form of income. I mean, we love multiple income streams. I've got multiple income streams. And it's really important to do that. I've got them from my property and from several businesses that I've got. All different things that go on to generate cash flow. Because I want to make sure that the stool that I've got, that I'm sat on, the stool hasn't just got one leg. Because if it's only got one leg and that leg's an income stream, if that leg disappears, the stool doesn't function properly. But if that stool's only got two legs, again, it's still not functioning properly. At the very minimum, you need to have three separate income streams, because that way you've got some form of stability. If one doesn't work for whatever reason, changing tax, whatever, then the other two hopefully can generate cash. So that's the first reason why we want you to have some sort of secondary income. The second reason why we want you to have some sort of secondary income, which is why we always suggest creating a business, is that we want you to be engaged on some level. In other words, I don't want you to be bored. I've done this. When I left work the first time, I'd just turned 30. I left working for a big computer manufacturer here in the UK, one of the top three. You can have a guess who that was. And when I left there, I just turned 30, or just turning 30, and I didn't work for 18 months. And it was the most dullest thing ever. I bought a Porsche, which was awesome. I went backpacking, which was cool. But apart from that, life was pretty dull, because all my friends were working. What are you going to do? And I remember a friend of mine saying, well, I just play golf. And I said, yeah, who with? And he went, oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Now, unless you want to play with 70-year-old men on a golf course who've retired, and you want to find out everything you want to know about a prostrate, which is not something I really want to do, then they would be your new peer group. So you've got to do something, right? So this is one of the reasons I do coaching. One, because I love it. Two, because I'm helping people. And three, because it gives me something to do. It gives me a challenge to help other people accomplish some of the things that I've accomplished. And I love that. It's like giving back to some extent. You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the self-actualization part, is about just giving back. So this is why we must have some sort of secondary, at least secondary, and even better, a tertiary form of income stream. So the problem here for most people is they understand that, and that's fine. And then they start up a business, and their business is really low margin. It's high volume, low margin. And so in order for you to generate positive cash flow, you've got to be servicing an awful lot of clients. So let's take, I don't know, we could take a cleaning business, for example. I mean, how much can you charge for cleaning someone's office? 10, 15 pounds an hour max, maybe 20 pounds an hour max. And then you still got to pay the cleaner unless you're doing it yourself. Well, There's no, just no margin in there. There's literally no margin in there. So this is one of the problems, is that people end up building this terrible, terrible business with hardly any profit margin. And the problem with having a business with hardly any profit margin is you've still got fixed costs. So if your costs every month, let's keep them low, say £1,000 a month, okay? That's your fixed costs. That means regardless of whether you're bringing in income or not, you've still got to generate £1,000 just to break even. That's not paying yourself a salary or going on holiday or any of that sort of thing. You've got to be generating £1,000. So if you're only on 10, 15, 20 pounds an hour, or if you're making a couple of hundred pounds per product that takes a week to implement, then you're not going to be able to grow that business, and it's not going to give you the lifestyle that you're looking for. And the other problem here, and I found this as well, because I started off doing coaching, really low-end coaching, low pricing. And the problem with that is, first of all, the type of clients that you get are lower end, I'm afraid to say, for people who aren't as committed as someone who's paid, say £15,000 for a 12-month coaching package. They're hugely committed and tend to get the better results. But the other problem was that when I was low-end coaching and I was doing it on a per-hour basis, which I absolutely refuse to do now, it's just not what we do at all. It's not. I'd rather not have a client than do that, okay? And that upsets some people, and that's fine. But the other reason why we want to be charging more money is so that we can invest that money into marketing. Because this is the problem. If you're on £15 an hour as a cleaner and you're paying someone else £10, it means you've got £5 an hour. And yeah, if you ramp up the numbers, you've got 100 cleaners, that's great. That's £500 an hour, potentially. But that's with 100 cleaners, right? So that's an awful lot of work. An awful lot of work. And where's the money going to come from to grow that from one person at £5 an hour to 100 people at £5 an hour? Where's the money come from? Because you've only got £5 per hour per person in order to invest that money into marketing. Where does that money come from? And so this is the problem. You end up literally living from paycheck to paycheck, penny to pound. And that's not the right way of living. What you want to be doing is charging well for your services. Because if not, you've just created a terrible, terrible business. And absolutely, that's not what we want for you. We want you to have an amazing business. Because in fact, all you've really created is a poverty-based business. Now, there's a reason why people do this, and they do this time and time and time again. For work all hours, they send all the stuff out that they've made for the client, and then at the end of the day, they still have no money. It's because the business is not a business, it's a hobby. And that's not what we want. We want a business that generates cash flow and profit so that if your other income streams fail for whatever reason, that then you've still got a secondary or tertiary income stream. We don't want to create a poverty-based business. Now, the problem here for most people is that their mindset is based around a poverty-based business. And they say, well, £15 an hour, Dan, that's the most that I could ever charge for my cleaning. And that's because you're thinking about this as a transactional experience, where it's just they pay money in return for a service. And what you're forgetting about is all the value add. So let's say that you need to work for high-security businesses. A high-security business will pay more than £15 an hour because they need the trust that comes with a cleaner working in that environment. I've actually worked for a defence company, and so I've signed the Official Secrets Act when I was like 18, 19, and I was on work experience. And the checks that they do on you in order to work in that sort of environment is pretty significant, you know. And this is obviously going back quite some time. It's like, 26 years ago, 25 years ago, something like that. This is all before 9/11 and all the other terrorism stuff, you know. So, and I imagine that the security checks even now are much, much tougher. Well, those sort of businesses you can probably charge more money for. And then what's the additional value add? So let's say, I've got a cleaner at the house in Leeds, for example, and I pay £10 an hour. Do you know, I pay double that for that cleaner. And she's got really busy, and she said to me, would you mind if I got someone else to do your cleaning? And the answer was yes, I would. I want you to do it because I trust her. And so I would actually pay more. And we've had a conversation about putting the prices up. I've voluntarily asked her to put her prices up. And every so often we'll pay a little bonus, we'll give her a gift or whatever, just to keep her happy. And the reason why we would do that is because we value her job as a cleaner. And obviously she sees my aspects of my lifestyle, with my kids and all of that sort of thing. And I want to keep that between me and the kids and nobody else. And so there's a huge amount of trust that goes in there. Once you've had your kids abducted, by the way, you soon find the level of trust that you need as a person with the people that you're working with is significantly better. And you expect people to be better and have higher standards and so on. So most people have this problem with a mindset. Their mindset is, well, I'm only worth £15 an hour. And if you're only worth £15 an hour, you've got an issue. And that issue can be resolved through, one, getting a coach, two, increasing your skill sets, three, by adding a lot more value than you currently are doing. Like, so for example, let's say that you're cleaning someone's house and then, I don't know, let's just chuck something into the mix. And you said, I'll tell you what I'll do as well. I'll wash your car and I'll do that free of charge. How awesome is that, by the way? If you've got any cleaners listening to this, how awesome would that be? Like, do you think then you might be able to charge a bit more anyway? Even though the person that you're working for knows that ultimately you're washing the cars and there's a cost involved. But like, I would so pay more for that to have my car washed. That'd be awesome. Could you do inside as well? I'll give you an extra £20. I mean, that would just be so awesome, you know? So it's always about adding more value. So you've got to start getting away from this mindset issue of I'm not worthy enough. Well, I wouldn't pay for that, so why would somebody else? And so there's a saying, and the saying is, see the world as it is, not as you see it. Because if you're coming from a position of scarcity, and bear in mind that most people do, unless you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, most people come from a position of scarcity. We've never had any money. We've all had to go out and work two jobs, or we've had to work all hours. We've had nothing given to us. Nothing handed down. We've had to work for every single penny that we've got. We might have had inspiration along the way from parents and so on, but we've had nothing. We might have had some financial help possibly to just cover our basic costs. Like, you know, when you lived at home and that sort of thing, you paid, I don't know, £20 a week in, what's it called? Lodging costs or whatever. But ultimately, we all come from a position of scarcity. And the problem with this is that that's all we actually know. And so because that's all we actually know, we just think that everybody else is in the same position. So living in Leeds, for example, you know, you might see a Porsche 911 driving around, but to see a Ferrari in Leeds, very rarely done. A Lamborghini, never. A McLaren, absolutely, I've never seen one. You go to London and look at how many McLarens are driving around. Look at how many Ferraris, how many Lambos. There's loads, right? Everyone's got a bloody Lambo in London and a Ferrari, it seems. And a Maserati and a nice Jaguar and so on. You just don't see those sort of vehicles in Leeds. And so coming from Leeds, I came from a position of scarcity. And because that's all I saw. And one of the reasons I love going to London, and I don't really like going to London because it's too busy for me. I think it's a fairly dirty city. I'm sorry to say if you live in London. It's full of smog. No one talks to each other. It's just, I just find it weird now. Especially now I live here in the Med where everything's in full technicolor because it's sunny all the time. And you go to London, it's like, and Leeds as well, by the way, because everything's in black and white because it's just so grey and raining all the time. But one of the reasons I love going to London, I love going and working from a 5-star hotel. I love that because you're surrounded by money. You can smell it. And when you walk out on the street, you can see it. You can see the cars driving past. And it's a nice, firm reminder that, do you know what? There's an awful lot of money going around in this system. Because money has like this idea that people earn money and then they store it in banks and so on. And there's a meme that goes around Facebook right now, and it's totally wrong, but everybody clicks like, but it's a totally wrong meme. And the meme says it's wrong for people to start hoarding money. And people don't hoard money, we invest it. We invest it in things. So, for example, we might invest it in stocks and shares. So we might invest it in Tesco stocks and shares. Well, how do you think Tesco grows its business? It uses the money that we invest, and then it gives us a return on that money. That's how investing works. That's how it all works. That's how insurance works. Insurance works by a group of people all putting the money into something. The insurance company then invests that into the stock market, which is how they make their money ultimately. They're using other people's money to invest with. It's very clever. It's been around for hundreds of years, and it came from ships. When sailors were going out on a ship, if a ship sank, before they went out, everybody put money in a pot so that if one of them sank, all of the other ships would pay for that one that sank. That's why, and it was Lloyd's of London. That's where it came from. So you've got to start looking at where's your mindset in terms of money. Like, we all have these ceilings, these glass ceilings as to how much money we think we can earn. And interestingly, and I know this through my NLP training, a lot of this comes from where you were when you were sort of 8, 9, 10, maybe 11 at the outset. But that 8, 9, 10, where we get what's called the critical faculty, where your critical thinking comes in. It's like a big iron bar that slid into your head that separates your conscious and your unconscious mind. And because all children, by the way, are unconscious before the age of sort of 7, 8, 9. And then this metal bar comes in, this critical thinking. And when this critical thinking comes in, and you hear an uncle say, oh, £25,000 a year is a lot of money. And, you know, when I'm 8 or 9, think about that. This is like 1980, okay? 25 grand back then was a huge amount of money, I'm guessing, okay? So then you're like, okay, and that becomes your glass ceiling because you've made a decision that this is the top amount of money that you can earn because that's a lot of money. And to earn more than that might be greedy because they're the other words that you hear people bandy about in the media and your friends. I mean, you hear people say things like, well, I just want to be comfortable. I don't want to be greedy. Well, what's greedy? What is greedy? I don't know what greedy is. Is greedy earning £1 million a year? Now, by the way, if you listening to this, you might have some stuff coming up. So if you're like, oh yeah, £1 million a year is really greedy. What if you give a load of that to charity? Or what if you then went out to Africa and helped build a school and give kids stationery and pencils and so on at that school? What if through earning £1 million, you can give up your time to go and help other people? Now is it still greedy? What about £1 billion? What about Warren Buffett, multi-billionaire? Is he greedy? Bear in mind that he's signed an agreement that he's going to give away, I don't know, 98% of his wealth when he dies, along with Bill Gates. Is he greedy? So greed is just a point of view, a perception, you see, given to you. And most people haven't even thought through what that perception is. It's given to them at an early age by the media, by the family, by the friends, by the people at school, by the sayings, you know, money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. The love of money is the root of all evil. Using money for the wrong purposes is the root of all evil. But if you earned £1 trillion tomorrow, let's say you won some magical lottery and you won 40 million trillion pounds, you were the richest person on the planet, what help, what good could you do with that money? You could do a huge amount of things. How about end third world poverty? Is that greedy? Absolutely not. So it's all a position of perspective and what that person can do with it. And don't get me wrong, some people do earn a lot of money and they're assholes. And when they earn a lot of money, they're just bigger assholes, right? But if you're a nice person and you earn a lot of money, you can be an even nicer person because now you've got additional resources. The asshole who makes a lot of money just has additional resources to be a bigger asshole. Does that make sense? I hope it does because it's so, so useful. So let's just bring this all the way back to you earning a lot of money in your business. If you're adding value to someone's life and helping someone solve the problem, and obviously the bigger the problem that you can solve, the more money you're going to get. So for example, if you save a marriage, how much is that worth? Is that worth £50 an hour? Or is that worth, I don't know, say £5,000 for one day of work? How much is that? And interestingly, when we talk about setting up membership sites and giving value, people think you give more value by giving more content. So let's just run this through. Let's say I've got a cure for cancer. Let's say you're dying of cancer, you've got 6 months left to live, and I've got the cure, and I'm going to sell it to you, and it's, let's say that you got this money, I'm going to sell it to you for £100,000, okay? Would you want that solution given to you, drip-fed, over 26 weeks at 14 hours of video per week? Or would you just want me to give you the tablet instantly? Which would you prefer? Because which one's got more value? Well, surely the one with, you know, all the videos, drip fed so you can sit through them. Surely that's more value. And that's the mistake that people make. It's not more value. People pay more because they want the solution. Let's do it this way. Let's say that I can give you all these drip-fed videos and that's £100,000, or I can give you a tablet tomorrow and that's £500,000. Which one would you take? Well, you'd take the tablet that's going to cure you tomorrow. So the bigger the problem that you can solve for the person, the more money you can get charged. You can charge. Providing you can solve the problem for the person. Unfortunately, in this business, there's so many people that take your money and then end up not solving your problem. Unfortunately, and it's very difficult to know who's right and who's wrong. You listen to testimonials and that sort of thing, you do your best. But also, knowing that that's the case, there are then people who then decide, no, I'm not going to spend that money because I'm not sure. And end up, you know, coming back a year, 2, 3 years later, Dan, I want to sign up now. And it's like, why didn't you sign up a year, 2, 3 years later? Well, I thought I could do it myself. And what happened? I couldn't do it myself. Okay. So you've just wasted 1, 2, 3 years. Why not just go for it? Sign up and do it. We see this. Even if it's the wrong thing for you and it didn't work, going through that process will change who you are fundamentally through the fact that you went through that process. And I've done this. I've gone on training courses and I've had coaching and I've pulled out and it wasn't very good. Okay. Was that a waste of money? Absolutely not. There were some extra things that I learned, and I also learned that that thing wasn't the right thing. So then I pull back and then I go down to the next path and see if that's the right thing. I pull back and go down. This is the search for success. This is what we do. We often go down multiple routes in order to get what we want. Before I found the solicitor that I've had for the last 10, 11 years, I went through like 6 or 7 or 8 solicitors. Each one was not a very good solicitor. The one I've got now, based in Leeds, called John, good friend of mine. He came over to the villa, stayed at the villa while we were in England, treat him as a friend. But I had to go through 6 or 7 solicitors. Did I buy my first house, get a crap solicitor, and then think, oh, I'm not buying any more houses because the solicitors are crap? No, of course not. You keep going. For getting a bad solicitor, for example, or going down a particular path and not getting the result that you wanted is part of you doing what you need to do. It's part of a learning process for you to get to the stage to where you eventually get it right. And trust me, when you get it right, it's like a combination lock. And when you get the right combination and unlock the keys, life is a lot, lot easier. But most people are unprepared or unwilling to go down that path. They just want the answer straight away. And unfortunately, success doesn't work like that. You have to go down these paths. We call this experience. So just pulling it back again, going back to your own business, get your prices up. Look at ways that you can add additional value. Not more content, not more videos, not more free stuff, right? But stuff that's going to absolutely make a transition for your clients' lives. Because when that happens, they will then come back and pay you handsomely. Obviously, not everybody will pay you handsomely. We just had one person and they signed up, they downloaded everything, they disappeared. They went to another coach, signed up, downloaded everything, and they're just going to continue to do that. And he's a coach on property sourcing. And you worry about these type of people because the clients that they get, you think, how are they getting screwed? Because there are always going to be people like this. And from my point of view, it's like, I mean, I blocked them and so on social media, but that's fine. It's just par of the course. It's just what we do, you know? There aren't honourable people everywhere you go. You gotta find them. And it's the same with a coach, it's the same with clients and so on. So just going back to your business, if you haven't got a business yet and you're thinking about starting one, start one that's gonna generate high cash flow, either as a one-off payment, or if it's regular, monthly, ongoing, it can be lower, but it's still gotta be profitable. So if you think about this, if you need £3,000 a month and you're charging £300 a month for whatever it is, coaching, whatever, times that by 10 people, you've got your £3,000 a month. And if you doubled your prices, you'd only need 5 people. And if you charged £1,000 a month, you'd only need 3 people. So you've got to look at what is the best way for you to do this, because there's 2 types of incomes. There's the run rate, your run rate, which is the terminology we used in the computer company I worked in. Your run rate is the small PCs, desktops and laptops that we used to sell. They would just come in without us doing any work. Just come in month by month, different clients. They would just come in all the time. And then the other stuff was the big stuff. The big stuff where we'd sell £1 million of servers and storage and that sort of thing to the big retailers, you know, the sort of big 3 retailers that you all know about. One based in Leeds. So, that's how we made big amounts of commission. And it's the same in your business. So in my businesses, for example, in property, for example, we would have monthly cash flow coming in each and every month, every single month through rent. And then every so often we'd buy, do up and sell a property and we'd make 10, 20, 30,000 pounds on that. So the small stuff, the monthly income was run rate. The bigger stuff was bids. We got bids, B-I-D-S, bids. We would call it, it's a big bid. We'd put a bid in for a property, we'd buy it below market value, we'd do the work, we'd sell it, and we'd get an offer in, and we'd accept it or decline it and so on. And so that's how you want to be thinking about you growing your business. So I'm pretty much done for this podcast. I hope that was useful for you, and I hope it serves you to look at how much you're charging. Are you in control of a hobby, or are you in control over a profit, a cash flow generating business? I'm open to questions. If you've got anything you want to ask, just drop me a quick email. Love to hear back from you. I love the feedback that we get, so that's really cool. And we'll speak to you on the next podcast. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.